The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Prepare your ears, humans. Happy, Sad, Confused begins now.
Today on Happy, Sad, Confused, Evan Rachel Wood on Westworld and her comfort movie, Clue. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Yes, as promised, the podcast continues. Yes, we're living in a different world. I wouldn't say a better world, but it's a different world. But we're just trudging through. We're making the best of it. We're all surviving as best we can. And part of that for me is continuing this podcast with a lot of familiar voices, some new voices. But let's talk about the familiar voices first, because I've got one on the line today. Say hello, Sammy.
This, I feel like we're like doing an old school radio show.
Yeah, exactly. This is as it was always meant to be, where we're not in the same room. This is what I was always striving for.
Yeah, first time caller, long time listener. Sammy Eller on the line.
I got my start in college radio, so this is bringing me back to my roots, Sammy.
You went to college?
It's rude. Sammy, how you doing? How's the fam?
Good. Good. Yeah, I left New York City, and I'm now in Pennsylvania.
Right.
So I'm away from the epicenter, but it's too quiet here. It's a little frightening.
Well, I was just thinking, because the last time maybe you were on the podcast was probably, I feel like the last happy time in anybody's life was our Sam Heughan live
event. Don't even say it.
Was that the end of the happy times? Was that it?
What a way to go. That was the last time I remember being happy.
Oh, God. Yeah.
How's New York? How are you doing?
Oh, it's great. It's perfect. I don't know if you've checked out the news. We are doing fantastic.
Yeah. It's
intense here. It's all good, but you know, the family is staying safe. We're doing the right thing. We're staying inside. We're acting smart. And New Yorkers are tough, so we're gonna handle this. We got this.
Hey, bada bing.
Bada bing, bada boom. We got it.
We got it.
But I mean, in all seriousness, I do want to mention, and I'll say this a couple times in the intro, because I think a lot of people are concerned about obviously what's happening out there and looking for ways to help. And I was asking around, and one of the big areas I think that we obviously need to support are the healthcare workers out there that need supplies,
yes,
the PPE, et cetera. So if you guys are interested in donating, you could go to the GoFundMe page for an organization called Frontline Responders Fund. So go to www.gofundme.com/frontlineresponders fund, and you can make a contribution and hopefully help our selfless healthcare workers that are really doing amazing work 24/7 for all of us. As for the podcast, I know there's a segue, right? As for the podcast, what we're trying to, so I mentioned this on social media and even in the last episodes, I'm kind of rejiggering the podcast a little bit because it doesn't feel appropriate to do the same kind of conversations I've done. And it's also, frankly, harder to do these kind of in-depth career conversations with folks in this format. Yeah. But here's what we're going to do. I think we're all looking right now for comfort in different ways. So I figured let's talk to some familiar folks, some new folks about their favorite comfort movies. the movies that make them feel safe and warm and cozy and happy, the ones that we keep returning to. Maybe it's from their childhood, etc. So that's what we're going to do. I've started a little hashtag, so I want to hear from you guys out there. The hashtag is My Comfort Movie.
I love this.
So yeah, I think it's fun. I think if people want to get in on it, in fact, I'll actually, some people already got in on it, and I want to pull up some of their comfort movies. Hold on, let me do this. While I look for that, Sammy, what do you think? What's your comfort movie of choice? Do you have a number one comfort movie?
I don't want you to like make a comment about it. I don't want to be judged. Is this a judge-free comfort movie zone?
I can't promise that. Sure. Right.
Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
What?
Win a Date with Tad Hamilton.
Josh Duhamel, Topher.
No, Kate Bosworth. Yes, yes, yes.
What is wrong with you?
Beautiful movie, Nathan Lane. Powerful, beautiful movie.
Uh-huh.
I'll also probably put Greatest Showman up there.
Right.
And Les Mis. Les Mis always puts a smile on my face.
That's a happy one there.
Yeah.
just good things happen. Okay, so let me pull up the hashtag and look for some of our listeners' picks here. This is from Cheese and Cracker. She says her comfort movie is Steel Magnolias, Sleepless in Seattle, or When Harry Met Sally.
Oh, just watched When Harry Met Sally for the first time.
What?
It was on your list. It was great.
So, yeah, part of this is I shared Sammy and the fam were looking for a bunch of movies, as a lot of people are. So I sent over a robust list, and you guys have been making your way through it, right?
Oh, we do our Josh Horowitz homework every night. It's great. There have been times where my dad goes, "What was Josh thinking? This is terrible."
Oh, no, I don't want to hear about that. I'll share the list on social media.
Big
so you
Trouble
all can...
in Little China, I think, was his.
I stand by that one. Let me read a few more. Colby Landis says Captain Ron. Yeah, a little Kurt Russell action. Let's see. Raju Kamath says my comfort movie of the moment is Love Actually.
Oh, nice. Good one.
David Ortiz says my comfort movie is Back to the Future. Melissa Merck's 7-Eleven is her handle, says also When Harry Met Sally and While You Were Sleeping. So a lot of rom-coms. People are going to the rom-coms right now.
Mm-hmm. Like Tad Hamilton.
Yeah, like Tad Hamilton. Am I going to end this right on the first episode? No. Okay, so the guest today is actually a newcomer to Happy, Sad, Confused. We haven't had her on the show before, and I'm bummed that we haven't had her on for a full episode, even though I've talked to her a bunch over the years. She's fantastic. She's Evan Rachel Wood. She, of course, is starring in season 3 right now of Westworld. If you haven't checked out Westworld, what are you doing? Check it out. The new season's really cool. They've kind of rebooted it in a very cool way. Sunday nights on HBO. And Evan Rachel Wood, I knew she would deliver like a good pick. I knew she's got good taste, similar sensibilities somewhat to mine. And her pick is actually one of your favorites too. You're going to hear Evan Rachel Wood and I geek out about Clue in a minute. So what do you think about Clue, Sammy?
I love Clue. It's one of my favorites. And I remember like the first couple times I saw it, I must have only seen the same ending. So I remember realizing that there were a bunch of different endings too.
Yeah.
I love that. I love the choose your own adventureness of it. I loved there was a character named Samantha. That was always exciting for me.
Sure.
Yeah, but when you rewatched it, I asked you which ending you saw, and you saw all of them?
Oh, yeah. If you watch it on any of the streaming services, they just show all the endings one after another.
Which is your favorite?
Well, I like the one with Madeline Kahn, because that's the one where Madeline Kahn does her famous, you know, flames on the side of my face, that whole riff. So you only see that in the Madeline Kahn did it ending. So I think I have to give the edge to that one.
Do you think Mr. Body deserved it?
Well, I got into this a little bit with Evan. I think if there's a weak link in the film, it's the actor playing Mr. Body. I don't want to be the guy that takes down our first comfort movie, but...
Hot take.
Well, I mean, when you're surrounded by comedy all-stars, if you don't bring it, and I don't know if Mr. Body was up to the challenge of competing with Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, and Tim Curry, and all these great folks. That's my hot take.
Wow.
Yeah, let it sink in.
real quick, Evan Rachel Wood's in one of my comfort movies.
Wait, let me figure this out. It's not Across the Universe.
Yes, it is. Of course it is.
Really?
Oh, come on. Singing?
That's all you need. Literally just singing. Your bar is so low.
I love the Beatles. I love her. I love her voice.
Okay.
And got some hunks in that movie, too. I love hunks.
Yeah, I know you do. You love music and hunks. You're easy that way.
Of course.
Yeah, she needs to do more singing, like, on screen.
Oh, my. Yeah.
She's... Yeah. Remarkably talented. Okay, so let's toss to this conversation. This was the first one of these I taped. I was still kind of figuring out the format. We've since taped one with, and I'll tease it because it's coming up later this week, did a really fun chat with Logan Lerman where we talked all about Hook. That's coming up later this week. Yeah, that was super fun. And like I said, I'm still sort of kind of honing these kind of conversations. And by the way, they still will, depending on the guest, go into other areas, but I do want to kind of like keep this anchor, this comfort movie thing going. And as I said, guys, I want to hear from you. I want to hear what your comfort movie is. Maybe it'll inspire some choices of my own and some of my guest choices. Use the hashtag my comfort movie. I'm checking the hashtag all the time. So please do that. And one more reminder, again, if you're looking for a great place to contribute to, go to the GoFundMe page for Frontline Responders Fund. Again, that's www.gofundme.com/frontlineresponders fund. And without any further ado, let's go to my chat with the star of Westworld and the biggest fan of the great cinematic treasure that is Clue, Miss Evan Rachel Wood. So usually I don't do big introductions on the podcast because usually it's super cash. My guest is in the office, but these are weird times. Hi, Evan. How's it going?
Hi, guys. Hi, everyone.
I was going to say, across the universe, there's Evan Rachel Wood. Across the country, there's Evan Rachel Wood. How you doing? I feel like that's like a loaded question now, but you're doing relatively okay?
I'm doing the homeschool thing and just trying to look at the positives. And I feel like my agoraphobia is being really validated right now. So I'm weirdly calm. No, I'm good. I just hope everybody else is doing all right.
Yeah. It's a weird time to say the least. But you know what I'm trying to do in this kind of rejiggered version of Happy, Sad, Confused is to talk a little bit about the comfort movies for all of us, right? You know, we all have like those movies that I feel like we go to when we're down or just something, whether we're depressed or we just kind of like need something to kind of like make us feel safe.
Absolutely.
And I know I've got dozens of those. So before we get into your pick, tell me, like, what's your definition of a comfort movie? Is my definition your definition? Do you have your own kind of definition of that or what?
When I think of comfort movie, well, just like you just said, you know, when I'm down or when I just need something familiar or if it's like a rainy day or we're all quarantined because of a virus, apparently.
Right. I never knew that was one of the options.
Now let's add it to the list.
Right.
I love, I don't know. It can't be too heavy. I like a little comedy.
Right.
I like really good acting, fast paced and just something that's very quotable. Like I want to be able to quote the entire film front to back.
So I think your pick fits all of these categories. You gave me fair warning in advance and I got a chance to refresh. Not that I really needed it, but, why don't you unveil it, Evan? What is your comfort?
My comfort movie is Clue, was it 1987?
It's 85. I did my research, so I don't expect you to know the everything, but yeah, it's before you were born, Evan. How do you know this movie?
Well, I grew up watching it. My brother and I had a VHS tape, I believe recorded off of the TV. And when my parents, did a lot of theater, when I was a kid and we would stay home and watch movies and this was one of our favorites. So this was always kind of our comfort film when our parents weren't around or when it was raining or when we were staying up late and wanted like a murder mystery spooky thing to watch.
Totally. So I should say for those listening, and I'm glad you picked something like this, that is, it's available in a bunch of different places. People can watch it on YouTube, on Amazon, on iTunes. There's no excuse. If you've never seen Clue, it's definitely a unique movie in many ways. I mean, it's kind of an homage to movies that we're familiar with, but done in a bit of a different way. I don't know. Do you want to set up the plot? Should I set it up a little bit? I mean, it's pretty basic.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if anybody's ever played the Parker Brothers board game Clue, but basically, in the 80s, they took that concept and turned it into a film. And so we've got, who do we have?
So we have Mrs. Peacock. We got
Miss Scarlet.
So yeah,
Miss White.
Miss Scar.
I almost said Miss Colonel.
You got Colonel Mustard. Don't that's Martin Mull. I mean, the cast. Let's talk about the cast,
because
I think
is
that's
absolutely genius.
It's insane. It's like comedy all stars, right?
Exactly. Some of the best classic comedic actors. I mean, Madeline Kahn, Christopher Lloyd, Michael McKean, Tim Curry,
Wesley Ann Warren.
You know that Mrs. Scarlet in this film, I believe Carrie Fisher was originally cast. This is a rumor.
I saw that. I read that. I think that's corroborated by the director. Yeah, it's so fun to see, like, they're all, you know, I mean, I'm sure you know this, obviously, from, like, doing so many movies, like, you want to be in the same movie, right? Oh. Like, you want to be acting in the same project, and they all, whether it came from the script or the director, it feels like they all got it. They all knew what they were going for.
They all got it, and it really, at least I like to think, it seems like they were all having a good time, especially Tim Curry. I think Tim Curry was having the best time. When he's doing the synopsis at the end...
Yeah,
with the really long monologues. When you think about how many times he actually had to do that, and how many different angles, and his energy is like at a 10 on each take. It's pretty mind blowing to watch.
Yeah. So and just, you know, set it up a little bit more. It's basically kind of like, I would say, probably an homage to those Agatha Christie stories. And I remember, it's weird. I grew up, and I remember my dad turned me on to like. And Then There Were None, which was like a 10 Little Indians Agatha Christie movie from like 1945. Mm-hmm. It was black and white, and I loved it. It's essentially the same story. So like in this story, it's six strangers invited to a mansion. Weirdly, it's a period movie. It's like 1954, but
the 20s? Or is it the 50s?
Well,
it's the 50s. It's the 50s. You're right, because I think
the title card. Yeah, the title card says 54, but you're right. Like, to me, like, I don't really have a sense of like what time it is. It's kind of its own weird world.
Mm, it's that classic like, noir mystery.
Yeah. And so I mean, I think you keyed on what some of the aspects that I love about it, which is definitely the ensemble. I also like that when I was watching it, it's kind of a weird tone that it's not Mel Brooks Super Broad, which I love, by the way.
No, they're really committed to making it believable.
Yeah. They're like, the first half of the movie is kind of playing it, maybe straight is too strong a word, but it's kind of a real mystery.
It is, yeah. It definitely is a mystery. You know? You are having to figure out, you know, it's a whodunit story. And I love mysteries. I love having to like piece things together, obviously I'm on Westworld. So
you better like mystery.
Yeah, I like it a lot. It's got all those elements.
So, okay. So here's some fun facts that as I was researching it and kind of getting reacquainted. So yeah, it was released December 13th, 1985. I didn't see it in theaters either. I'm a little bit older than you, so I don't know why. Like I was, Josh Horowitz is 9 years old. He should have been dragged to this movie, but I caught up with it on VHS like you. It was written and directed by Jonathan Lynn. This was his first feature directing effort.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Which is pretty cool. And he kind of had an interesting career. He's still around, but he like did like My Cousin Vinny. Like he did a bunch of kind of like
80s and 90s. That makes a lot of sense now that you say that.
Totally, right?
Tone and pacing, yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, you know, to me, it's funny because I feel like this is, in a weird way, this is the kind of movie that would be made, more likely to be made now in that, you know, when we're going after like IP, right? We're just like sucking any like amusement park ride or whatever, like let's turn that into something. But in 85, this wasn't happening. Like, I don't know what guy at Paramount Pictures was like, let's pick Clue of all games to turn into a movie.
I don't know. I don't know. I love that the director was like, yeah, and there was this kind of up-and-coming guy, Tim Curry, who had done this movie, yeah. Rocky Horror. Because, like, Tim Curry wasn't really – he was just starting pick up the pace a little bit, pick up speed.
Yeah. I read that Rowan Atkinson was, like, one of the choices as well.
Oh, my gosh. That's so funny. The movies that could have been.
Yeah. Well, I'm always into that. Uh-huh. I don't know about you. So, like, when you saw it and you taped it off TV, do you remember, like, one of the gimmicks – like the gimmick around the film was that they shot four, but I guess they only used three of them.
Oh God, I'd love to know what that fourth one was. Yeah. And then they released three different versions into theaters so that people couldn't give away who the murderer was when they all talked. So there were three different endings floating around and everybody kind of saw a different one.
So did you see all three do you remember just like seeing all of them?
I did see all three. Yeah. I think when it aired on television, they always showed the three endings and they say, this is what could have happened.
Right.
Or this is what could have happened, but this is what really happened.
Exactly. So have you ever shot an alternate ending for one of your films? Did you ever have to like go back and be like,
I have shot alternate endings. Yeah.
is that bizarre?
It is weird because the ending can change the entire film. So it's hard to, as an actor, kind of straddle the two worlds to be consistent and to be able to have a performance that matches up with either one.
You're like, I thought this was all leading towards this. Doesn't this change literally everything we were doing?
My entire arc. Yeah. It's fascinating though. I've definitely shot different versions.
So it was shot almost entirely, on a stage,
which,
like,
I had no idea.
That's pretty cool. I found
this out because I got to work with Michael McKean, and I completely geeked out and had to confess and just say, okay, dude, I'm like a Trekkie when it comes to crew, and I just need you to talk about it. Just like start telling stories. And he said, yeah, it was a set. He said in between takes, they'd all go and play in the billiard room and shoot pool, and they were having the best time.
I love that you couldn't even like get out like an articulate question. You're just like, just speak, just tell
say
me. Just
words about Clue. Say, please. Yeah.
It's actually like, I do think the production design is pretty awesome. Like it's very evocative and it kind of,
characters. In fact, well, I'll get into this a little later, but, ask me what my son wants his birthday to, like what the theme of his birthday, what he wants.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay, we'll get to that. When's the last time you saw it? Like, do you still see it with any, or is it just
time. I mean, really? And again, I showed it to my son and now he wants to watch it all the time. And it's weird when you have films that you watched all the time as a kid. Like mine, the ones I watch every day were like Labyrinth and Clue and Princess Bride and things like that. And then I will show them to my son and I won't tell him that I used to watch these every day or that there's anything special about this particular film. I just want to see how he reacts. And he chooses the same movies to watch every day. And it's some weird, strong DNA.
I love it. That's great.
And Clue,
he's never disappointed.
No, he's not. And so now he's obsessed with Clue.
I love it. Okay, so wait. So what were you saying? So he's going to do... Should we get to the birthday thing?
He wants a Clue-themed birthday party. Aww. And he cast everyone in his family as each character. And so his dad is Mr. Green, and I am Mrs. Peacock. His stepmom is Mrs. White. Like, he's got a whole cast. He wants to be the butler. And he wants us all to reenact the film on his birthday. So I have, like, a whole Miss Peacock outfit ready to go.
This is amazing.
This is how prevalent this movie is in my household. Just
wow, you're for real. Now, when you were watching with him, because when I was watching it yesterday, you know, it holds up, but there are some things that maybe feel
dated.
I don't know. Yeah,
like a little sexist, trying to be, maybe.
Yeah. Evan.
There are.
I mean, Yvette is kind of treated a little bit as. I mean, she's great
and
in it. Colleen Camp's great in it.
She's so great.
She's so great, but it's like Colin Camp and like Colin Camp's cleavage are like starring in the movie together. So there's a little bit, and there's the Michael McKean kind of like announcing himself as a homosexual moment that felt a little like,
right.
Okay.
Well, in the '50s, that may have been more of a thing.
Sure.
But absolutely. It's certainly dated. And there are moments I watch now and I go, oh, that's slightly offensive.
I mean, virtually everything we grew up with, right? Well, has some element of that, I suppose.
Some Turner Classic Movies, and those are real bad. I was like, I'm going to go revisit some old Westerns. And then I went, I don't want to do this. Oh God, why did I do this?
Yeah. Let's not even like get to like the treatment of like the Native American in classic Westerns.
Oh,
like, no.
Lord. I mean,
no.
The things that were normal. I mean, it's amazing to see how far we've come. So, and my son is actually really good at pointing out subtle sexism in film style because I like to explain to him that it was made in a different time and, you know, we know better now. And as long as we're self-aware and so now he'll point it out before me. He'll say, well, that's not true because, you know, girls can do this. Girls can do that too. And I'm like, oh, good job.
we're doing something right. So can I give you my other nitpick? Cause I do love this
Absolutely.
Movie, but I feel like when I was watching it, like my one casting kind of miscue that didn't quite work for me was Mr. Body I don't know this man. I have nothing to begrudge him. Apparently it's not like his main. So he was in a punk band called Fear.
Oh,
Leaving
really?
Is his name. Yep. And it felt like to me watching it yesterday that like all his lines were like 80 yard and I don't know what happened.
Also, I'm pretty sure in one of those takes, his head definitely hits the floor and he doesn't flinch. I don't know if you noticed that.
I didn't notice
that. I mean, whack. Like just, I mean, it is definitely smacking onto that linoleum floor and he doesn't flinch.
So, okay, that's my nitpick. He gave it the old college try. It's
he
all good.
Did. And, you know, spoiler alert, they may not have cared too much about that character because he's.
This is true.
He maybe meets his, demise early on.
Okay, so how about some favorites? So, do you have a favorite scene that jumps out?
You know, I guess the thing about it is like the subtle comedic moments that the more I watch it, the more I see things like. I don't know if you noticed Curl Mustard getting stuck behind the library door when it opens as he's trying to take the champagne glass from Yvette. Because they don't linger on it. It's literally in the corner of the frame. And you have to really look to see his face and to watch it happen. And I laugh every time at stuff like that. I also laugh at when they're trying to unlock the door. And he's like, forget about the key, unlock the door. I can't unlock the door without the key. Like, and everyone's freaking out. Tim Curry tries to break the door down, falls onto the ground. Yvette trips, gun goes off. The chandelier goes down. It's like moment, 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 moment. This beautiful string of comedic events that just ended this chandelier.
So you've already been quoting it a bit, and I know you're kind of a quote machine. Yes. Is there one line in particular that you've probably quoted the most from this movie?
Oh, my goodness. That's really hard. probably a monkey's brain. The part of Cantonese cuisine is not often found in Washington, D.C. Is that what we ate? I think that's the one my son and I do a lot.
Is that what you say when you're serving your son a meal? This is monkey's brain today? can we pinpoint a favorite performance? We already talked about Tim Curry. Is he the one?
It's got to be Tim Curry. I also think Michael McKean has some incredible moments in this film. And Madeline Kahn as well. I mean, I think the line that everyone knows is flames on the side of my face, breathing, breath, heaving. That whole thing, because you know that's all Madeline Kahn. There's no.
They say it was improvised. Yeah. They say she improvised
that. Like, it's so obviously just her taking the reins and creating this insane, unsettling, hilarious moment. And then everyone's reaction shots are just priceless.
Yeah, you could see. I kind of rewatched that scene a couple times because it's also only in one of the endings. And it does feel like. I was like looking for the people around them and you could see they're like about to break because clearly that was not 100%. Planned. So, okay, here's an important question. In recent years, I don't know if you've heard this, there are plans to remake Clue, to do a new version. Okay, so thoughts? Is this sacrilege? What do you think?
What I would love to see just personally instead is a stage version of Clue. Clue to me is like the perfect play.
It's like Noises Off, like one of those farces, right?
It's such a noisy. Thank you for knowing Noises Off. That's another really good comfort movie.
Oh, totally.
But it is. It's very much like that in the same vein. So I would be more intrigued seeing it on stage, but that's just me.
Okay. So I was going to ask you which role you'd want, but it sounds like your son has already cast you anyway.
Peacock, So, which I'm fine with.
That works. So I took your inspiration as my inspiration. So I'm going to throw out a few movies at you and the audience that are inspired by Clue that I think if people want to make a double feature or something, you tell me if these work for you too.
Okay.
So going old school, I already mentioned, if you want to go kind of the serious Agatha Christie route, and Then There Were None, which is really very much the source material of this, Young Frankenstein, I would definitely. Come on. I mean, you have Madeline Kahn in that one. And it's a little, like I said, it's a little broader, but that's like, that might be my like ultimate comfort movie. It's definitely top 10 100%. For me. I think Rocky Horror in a way, Rocky Horror Picture Show, speaking of Tim Curry.
Yeah. You're stuck in a big mansion on a stormy night and some stuff's about to go down. Yeah. Definitely in the same vein.
I don't know if you're a Pink Panther fan or Clouseau fan, but I like A Shot in the Dark, which is like the second of the films. Okay. And that's kind of the most dramatic and kind of in a manner kind of mystery version of that. Yeah. And then I'm going to go contemporary, Knives Out. I mean, Knives Out, he's obviously influenced by this stuff. So
100%. May I add another one? Murder
Please,
by Death.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Death Trap, I would say, is a pretty good one. This is off the top of my head. Yeah, there's a lot out there. Yeah. All right, so...
Always be mindful of the years that they were made, though.
Yes, yes. Context, yeah. Everything. Okay. Exactly, exactly. So before I let you go, I do want to mention Westworld, which has been awesome this year. I've watched the first four episodes. I got a little sneak peek.
Oh, amazing.
It's really... I mean, as everyone knows... you guys have taken some risks in the third season,
yeah.
And really
we're
kind of
taking risks.
I mean, seriously. So, were you quickly? Like, what did it feel like to kind of? Did it feel like you were in a different show for the third season? What's it been like to make kind of a different version?
Yeah, it felt like debuting the first season again. It felt like a new show. It's still got all the elements that are familiar that we know and love about Westworld, but it's definitely different. It's definitely more linear. But I'm excited for people to see where it goes. Cause you have to kind of set up the world in the first few episodes. And then to me, this season does what our first season kind of did. Although I don't want to compare because I think all the seasons sort of stand on their own, especially because they're all so different. But in the way that after the midway point of the first season, things really kicked into high gear and the whole show, like you thought it was this one thing and it turned into another. And I think we're going to see that a lot this season as well. So I'm very excited for that.
Nice. Yeah. Even from seeing the first few episodes, it does feel like, cause like that first episode is kind of centered mostly, I guess, on your character and Aaron's character, but it's like in each of the first four, it's almost like a different
setting up a new
section.
Character. Yeah.
Yes. And then I would imagine at some point these lives start to intersect and things get real. I mean, I'm no expert, but I mean, I don't know, Evan. I've been doing this a while.
I know formula when I see one, man.
Not to say Westworld is formulaic. You guys are anything but.
No.
Very cool. And anything that's in this madness lately beyond Clue? What have you been binge watching anything? I know you've been busy at home, but have you been binging like all of us?
I've been busy at home. I think this whole thing has made me start binge watching conspiracy theory stuff.
Oh no.
Well, but I you take everything with a grain of salt. It's just it's just fascinating to me. God, what else?
So you go that way.
I just binge watched the Leah Remini Scientology series.
Oh yeah.
Which I thought was incredible. So yeah, I'm kind of a nerd. I don't know.
No, we're all nerds in different ways. It's funny because like how we react, it's like, do you go into like that kind of a thing, or do you go for like I'm doing Schitt's Creek now, just to like go in the opposite.
I did that the other day as well because it felt appropriate for some reason.
Yeah, yeah. I'd never seen it, and I feel like I was the last one to the party. Yeah. So, and it is great as advertised.
Doesn't it feel like Catherine O'Hara should have been in Clue? I feel like she is like the one thing missing from that group.
She could have played like any of the female parts, frankly. Yeah. Yeah. She is a comedy all-star always. Evan, I'm sorry that it took this for us to catch up. One of these days when life has come back to semi-normal, you have to come by the office for a proper, happy, sad, confused conversation.
I'm glad.
It's good to catch up.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm glad we could still connect and that we're keeping weird movies from the 80s. Alive still.
Alive, definitely. always. A little pandemic can't keep some good 80s movies down.
I don't think anything can keep 80s movies down, honestly.
Exactly, exactly.
They're not giving up.
thanks again for the time. Stay safe. Stay as happy and content as you can
definitely
be. And
you too.
And hopefully I'll see you soon.
Definitely.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.